103.2 megacycles per second. This is Dublin City FM. This is The Sod Show. Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. Hello, good afternoon and welcome. It is The Sod Show with Brian Green and Peter Donegan. Brought to you in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at greensax.ie. Wonderful show in store for you this week. We did promise last week that we would have Jane Powers, but we're going to hold that over for one more week because it is that good. And we shall be hearing from Jane next week. This week, we are smack bang in the middle of National Recycling Week and we'll be talking about recycling more. Stay tuned. Do you recycle? Have you got that green bin squashed down as far as it'll go? Is there more that you can be putting in it? We're going to be talking to the recycling experts on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Underground, overground, wumbling free. The wombles of Wimbledon, common are we. Making good use of the things that we find. Things that the everyday folks leave behind. Tidy and wombles are clean. Underground, overground, wombling free. The wombles of Wimbledon, common are we.
From back in the 70s when organised workers was radical, the Wombles, our favourite recyclers on The Sod Show. We're going to interview in a moment, but first, you can contact us on Twitter at Sod Show, on Facebook, The Sod Show, and at the website sodshow.com for all the back catalogue. Here's Peter Donegan talking with Daryl Crowe, recyclemore.ie.
In my company is a gentleman by the name of Daryl, and Daryl works with Repack Recycling, and this week is Repack Recycle Week. It is their Christmas, so to speak. And no better man to talk to. Daryl, how are you?
Hi, Peter. Thank you very much. Yes, this is our 11th year, actually, of Repack Recycling Week.
Give me a list of some of the people that you work with.
Well, contractors directly out there. I mean, householders will recognise some of the big, large contractor names, you know, Barna Waste, AES in the Midlands, Mr. Binman in terms of Country Clean, Panda, Thornton's Oxygen, etc. All of these guys are actually out there collecting, actually, general household rubbish, as well as dry recyclables. And what we do is we fund the packaging element of recycling within those green bin systems. And we do that as a producer responsibility scheme, a not-for-profit scheme. We're collecting packaging levies from many of the companies. Here we are today, actually, in a car park, actually meeting up, B&Q, you know, PC World, Aldi, Lidl, Tesco, Coca-Cola. You know, all of these companies are paying packaging levies to the likes of Repack, and we use those funds to fund packaging recycling from green bin systems around the country.
I'm gathering there are those who don't pay money to Repack Recycling, but why would a company want to pay extra money to you, full stop?
Well, first off, it is backed up by legislation, European legislation, to be perfectly honest, which then actually was rolled into Ireland in terms of under the Packaging Directive. Ireland had a series of targets and had to set up a system or a scheme to enable Ireland to meet those packaging targets. You're right. Why would they want to do it? Well, for a number of reasons. One, you know, many of these companies in the larger, the P&Gs, the Procter & Gambles, Unilever, Danone, Heineken, all have recognised many years ago that there is a requirement under social CSR, corporate social responsibility, that they should be doing the right thing with regard to the packaging they're putting on the market, and have helped establish schemes like Repack throughout Europe and will pay the packaging levy. So they're doing them partly on a voluntary basis, but more fundamentally it is backed up by legislation in many European countries. Indeed, you actually touched on a very clear point, which is that there are the larger companies who will always be corporate socially responsible and will do the right thing from a legal perspective. But there are many smaller companies who could be and should be actually members of REPAC, but aren't.
Is there a bit in between where it's become a little bit more fashionable to be a member of REPAC because, you know, we all like an eco-green kind of attached label to the thing and we deal with our waste responsibly?
Absolutely. We're beginning to find that there are some companies, but also in these tougher economic times, we found the reverse. There are some companies who are saying, with a clear overhead, this isn't added value within my business for much smaller companies. The great news is that REPAC actually raises about 25 million in packaging levies from producers around the country. But actually that most of that, nearly 75% of our monies will come from very small companies who might be paying as little as 400 to 1,000 euro per year in terms of, and obviously for them it's a much more difficult ask and pay. But the key thing is, and there is the large companies and the large organisations, you know, it's like the Tesco's, the Musgrave's, the Aldi's, the Little's, you know, it's like in the Dunn stores, who are putting large quantities and volumes of packaging on the market are paying proportionately for the amount of packaging that they're putting on the market and could be paying well in excess of six-figure, seven-figure sums to REPAC each and every year, actually. And it's without these schemes and other policy leverages that we actually need to make packaging recycling and recycling work. Yes, people can make money actually out of recyclables, but think about it. You know, the value that you're getting out of an aluminium can is less than 0.0001 of a cent. So, you know, to get a ton of material, you've got to go around, you know, 500 houses merely to get a ton of material. That's going into a green bin system, which has then to be post-sorted. You've got diesel, you know, manpower costs and the segregation and separation costs. Whilst it is and does have a value, it won't actually pay for itself on its own. And that, if we go back to actually, you know, the 2000 in Ireland, you know, it was really a hump and dump of business in terms of waste.
You've got this week REPAC Recycling Week. It's for Mary McGinnity. She is my stereotypical household mom, and her husband Jim at home. You kind of lean it more towards that because B&Q or PC World are the ones that are paying your bills.
That's an absolutely fair assessment. This is really about an educational week, actually, in terms of where what we're trying to do is, we talked very clearly actually about the funding mechanism for REPAC and where the money was coming from, but really what we're trying to do is get packaging off the market, and the people who actually who have that are you and I and Mary McGinnity. We could put out, as there are 1.2 million green bins in households all around the country, but you know they'll sit outside people's doors unless you actually give them a rationale and a reason to engage with them. And one of those is actually it's about saving the planet and actually natural resources, but also actually it's about actually some of the economic leverages that actually have been put in place where you have pay by weight and pay by use. But yes, this week is all about trying to educate people how to recycle better and what they can and can't recycle in terms of, and this year our theme for REPAC Recycling Week is recycle better. And one of the key reasons for that is we've grown and matured as a nation in terms of our recycling behaviours. Indeed, curbside green bins, you know, are something that actually we didn't have nearly actually 5 to 10 years ago in Ireland, and the proliferation that we do now. What we had was actually a small level of curbside in and around Ireland in 2000, you know, curbside boxes. Think about what you could put in that every 2 weeks versus what you're putting into a 240 litre bin, which is now outside your door and is accepting a wider range of materials than was accepted in the very early curbside type collections. And so we've matured in the quantity and amount and engagement that people are involved actually with these things. But there are ways that we're asking them to recycle better. You know, you're very clearly actually in the horticultural and gardening world. Yes, any actually garden waste is fully recyclable, but not when you put it into a dry recyclable bin. So it's ensuring that people actually don't mix their recyclables in the wrong collection systems, because it won't always necessarily get recycled. It will lower the value of good dry recyclables. We found some research actually recently quite surprising that a third of all people were putting incorrect materials like food waste, garden waste, toys, clothes, shoes, etc. into their dry recyclable bins, either by accident or on purpose, in terms of, and that actually has very significant consequences. And indeed, some people are abusing the systems and trying to avoid their waste charges.
What happens, curiosity killed the cat, I take a whole load of branches and leaves and I stuff them into my green bin with the cardboard and the cans and the tins. Does that all get sent to landfill, or do you just wipe it off the conveyor belt, or how does it work?
Well, what they'll try to do is actually try and take out any of the good quality recyclable material from that, and actually they'll negatively pick the wrong or incorrect material. If you take it, we on average on a national basis, between around 7 to 10% of all green bins is incorrect recyclable material and material that shouldn't be in those systems. But when you've got things like food residues and actually obviously tins, they seep out onto the cardboard and are going to destroy it. So a branch put in there, it's in the wrong collection system, it'll have some impact. It just actually adds to the cost of segregation and separation. But actually, if you put something in with actually a half empty 2 litre bottle of Coca-Cola, for example, that is going to get burst at some stage in the collection system in the back of a waste lorry. That's going to seep all over the dry recyclable paper and cardboard. And actually now you've got wet paper and cardboard, which actually has a lower value. It's now contaminated to some extent than something that was clean and crisp as what you put into your bin in the first place.
So that old tub of coleslaw that's been sitting in the fridge for 42 years and 32 nights because you're a student down in Sligo and you never washed it out and you never cleaned it out and you just turf it into the bin, good luck to you, that's my job done. That's the bit that you're trying to avoid, and it really should be washed out, just rinsed under the sink, I suppose.
Absolutely. We're not asking people to make this actually absolutely be pristine, you know, as a new container and put it in a dishwasher and run it through for 40 minutes. You know, all we're asking is the heavy residues are taken out of it actually with a scoop or otherwise, so that actually it isn't going to seep and fall onto the good dry recyclables and cardboard. You know, having small bits of shampoo or detergent actually in the bottom of a bottle isn't an issue if you've got lids or otherwise actually screwed onto them. But again, even in these strict and economic times, it makes sense to actually empty out all of our containers to the maximum of use. You know, when you're in a shower with shampoo, you know, put a little bit of water in to rinse out the last little bit, and you'll be surprised how many more washes you'll get out of it than you actually would have otherwise.
Ah, there's a dilemma for any man out there who, I would suggest, mainly works in the gardening trade. The difference between body wash and shampoo, I have absolutely no idea. And what baffles me even more is those bottles of Lynx that come with body wash and shampoo written on the same one. I haven't got an iota. I don't think I've ever noticed the difference. In fact, I remember being in college and washing my hair with washing up liquid. Brian, probably time for a song. Yeah, give me something upbeat and groovy, and I'll talk to you a little bit after this break.
Now hands that do dishes can feel soft as your face with mild green fairy liquid.
Radio paints 1,000 pictures, and some pictures you can't erase from your mind. Thank you for that, Peter. Washing up liquid indeed. With regards to next week's programme, we will have Jane Powers here on The Sod Show, and it was supposed to be this week, so if she'll forgive us, sweet Jane, Velvet Underground.
Anyone who ever had a heart wouldn't turn around and break it, and anyone who's ever played a part turn around and hate it. Sweet Jane, sweet Jane, oh sweet, sweet Jane. Sweet Jane,
scene in The Blues Brothers, which is, was it John Candy? And he's saying how, you think it's car 52. Yeah, we're in a truck. Well, I'm still in my Jeep. How groovy and sexy does the Sideshow get? Airside Retail Park is where we're coming from. Live, the Roadcaster. My Jeep, you must be joking. Still in my company, Daryl Crow of Repack Recycling. It's recyclemore.ie is the website. You should go check it out. Let that 6-year-old or 3-year-old or 42-year-old daughter of yours go check it out and see if she can become a little bit more helpful around the house. And by God, she will, if she's acting like mine anyway, that is, she will probably have you running circles around her, cleaning up pots of coleslaw and emptying out your shampoo bottles and all of the things that are quite helpful. Statistically, Daryl, I'm how and what and how well have we changed, let's say, over the last, what, 10 years?
Well, as we mentioned earlier, we've grown packaging recycling in Ireland collectively, each and every one of us as householders and businesses, from under 15% in 1998 to actually over nearly 71% pure recycling terms. We've also actually added another 8 or 9% in recovery terms. You know, Meath, Cairnstown, we now actually have a waste energy plant, which is actually now taking some material from our general waste bins, and actually we're getting energy actually out of that. You know, if you went back when Repack was starting, really around, and, you know, about 3 or 4 years into its evolution, we were only doing about 20,000 tonnes from curbside collections alone. We're now actually up nationally around 290,000 tonnes would be collected annually from curbside green bin collection systems, or blue bins, depending where you are around the country. And you can see the prevalence and importance of a curbside collection system now.
Okay, so, Daryl, can you give me one county? Let me see. Pick the People's Republic of Cork. We know we have Bell down there. What is the People's Boggers Republic of contribution to the recycling system?
Overall, what we'd see is about actually, we estimate the equivalent of about 28 million cans actually were recycled in the Cork region last year, 35 million bottles, nearly 70 million plastic bottles, 165 million plastic refuse sacks, or 33 million actually steel food tins. So you can see it's actually a huge impact that people are having by the single can that they're putting into actually a dry recycling collection system has a cumulative macro effect. And remember, you know, we've nearly 10 million beverage cartons, the equivalent, being collected actually in Cork alone. And those are some phenomenal figures. And that's just one region of the country alone. So you can imagine when we actually gross that up into overall tons and material.
165 million plastic refuse sacks in Cork. One word, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden, and sponsors of the Sideshow. Also, Cork people, 28 million aluminium cans. You might be able to get away with that one. You might be able to squeeze something out of the 35 million glass bottles. Yeah, okay. You can see where this is heading on my wry sense of humour. If people wanted, let's say, a top 10 tips for those things that they can do at home, how, what have you got in your list?
Well, certainly for recycling better, actually, and trying to link with the theme, one of the things we're trying to say is obviously rinse any foods, residues and liquids actually out of your tins and your liquid bottles. Ensure that you're fully aware of what can go into your green or blue bin collection systems or whatever your dried recycling bin is in terms of colour, because there are variations around the colour. Make sure you actually familiarise yourself actually with the list. We found that 50% of people, or over 70% of people, haven't actually educated themselves in the last year as to what can or can't go into their green bin systems. And many people maybe have changed contractors in that time because of pricing, and there is a lot more competition out there. So do be aware there will be variations and differences. You know, ensure that you flatten and crush most containers to get more material into your bin. The last thing we want to do is find that people are getting to the end of their 2 weeks in their two-week collection cycle and are putting dry recyclables into their general waste bin because of lack of space or size. And really, if you're flattening all of your cardboard boxes before you ever put them in, you don't then have to actually try and get your son or daughter out to start jumping up and down to try and get more material in. It will be more compact to start with in the beginning. You know, don't put mixed dry recyclables into other containers. You know, sometimes people will actually take their dry recyclables out of a collection system in the house, put it and tie it into another plastic bag, and you've got a whole mix of materials in there now. the sorting and collection systems are designed actually to segregate materials individually. So somebody's got to rip that bag actually open again, or if you've actually rammed them tightly into a box, somebody has to split that box open and then actually empty all that material out onto conveyor belts, etc. So all you're doing is actually adding to the cost and actually the difficulty of segregation and sorting. Don't put food waste or compostables into actually your dry recyclable bin. It sounds very obvious, but as we've found out and through our research, there's about a third of people are mistakenly doing that, and that can have a huge knock-on effect in terms of contaminating material. Particularly think about it, actually, garden cuttings. You know, fine if you've got one or two big, large branches, but if you've come along and taken a whole of your, you know, your grass cuttings and put them into your dry recyclable bin by mistake, obviously you've ruined all of that green bin, and not only that, but probably half of a truckload when it goes back into the actual main depot. You know, don't put clothes or other dry recyclables that shouldn't be in those collection systems. Contractors may probably just gather those up and actually send them to landfill. If you want clothes to be recycled, make sure you bring them to a clothes bank. In terms of it, there's plenty of them around the country. You can use our Recycle More app to find the local or nearest one to you. We've got a Recycle More app that actually shows all of the recycling facilities around the country, both bottle banks, bring banks, clothes banks, etc., and recycling centres, including their opening and closing hours, actually, which is very key and critical around some key times such as Christmas. And also then we'd actually sort of suggest to people in terms of recycling better is to think about recycling from more areas of the home. About 90% of people are very good at recycling from the kitchen, and regularly recycle from the kitchen within the household. We've seen in our research that that drops to about 50% of people will admit to regularly recycling from the bathroom. And think of all of the packaging receptacles and items, shampoos, detergents, etc., you know, shower gel bottles that arise in your bathroom that can and should be recycled. One simple tip to that actually that we're saying to people is, you know, generally people will have a waste bin in their actual bathroom. We're not saying put a waste bin and a recycling bin in your bathroom. Maybe put one on a landing outside your bathroom, because then you can actually take all of your dry recyclables, you know, be it, you know, the cardboard packaging, the labels that are actually on new clothes that you've bought from the bedrooms, you can put it into that, and you've just got one small dry recyclable bin on a landing then that will serve those other rooms in the house that you can actually then take out to your dry recyclable bin outside the front door.
How are you when you get home? Are you like that, don't take this the wrong way, but are you like that annoying 5-year-old that, why? Are you like that except for it's recycling? Do you get in your wife's nerves? Do you have kids? Do you get in their nerves more so than they might you? And I don't mean that in a bad way, but do you get where I'm coming from? Are you clinically finicky about doing this in the house, or is it something that kind of comes natural?
Well, certainly in the beginning, it was something that I had to be pernickety. Now I'd like to believe that it's become much more natural with my kids and my wife, actually, in terms of it. But obviously, I believe and live and breathe this, actually, all of the time. I can hardly actually be here trying to lecture and tell other people what to do when I myself wouldn't actually be doing those practices. But yes, I would be probably quite pernickety. I'd also say that, actually, I've probably been pernickety when it goes to even other areas in terms of considering the environment, you know, turning off lights in the house, turning off taps, actually, not to waste water. You know, I constantly, with my children, would be plaguing them, you know, it's like when they're doing their teeth, you know, it's like you don't need to leave the tap running the whole time while you're brushing your teeth, you know. But yes, I am somebody who's very cognizant and conscious of the environment and would be probably one of those people who's a bit of a pain in the ass, if I'm being honest.
When you have an argument with Mrs. Crow, does she, you know, intentionally put a plastic into the cardboard place just to get in your nerves, knowing that it will accidentally on purpose? And oh, sure, look, there you go.
Well, certainly, I don't think she would, you know, like do it intentionally, and I would hope not. But actually, there are occasions, and she will say, "Well, listen, you know, I just didn't think about it." When I actually go around and sometimes might be taking stuff out of the bathroom, for example, and realise that somebody hasn't put it into actually the dry recyclable collection system that we've put in place in our house, and I will go around and actually try to find the culprit sometimes. But you know, I think they're all getting the message slowly but surely. But it is what we can do, and each and every one of us can make that effort.
What was the bit, Daryl, just backtrack on this one. I know I spoke to Matthew Jebb from the Botanic Gardens, and I asked him how on God's earth he ended up as being the curator or director of the Dublin National Ireland Botanical Gardens. How did you end up doing the job that you're doing? I mean, it's, you know, considering based on what you're saying, 10 years ago we didn't recycle at all, but we definitely didn't recycle as much.
My traditional background has been marketing and sales, and I started in very traditional marketing roles in marketing companies. I did a BCom actually in UCD. From there I went on, did a master's in marketing, ended up actually working for Bass in Northern Ireland in the drinks trade. went from there actually to Johnson & Johnson. I then actually worked in another company, actually 11850, as some people might know it, or Conduit. Effectively arrived, as it were, as a marketing personnel actually into an organization called Repac. I knew very little about it. As I've, you know, over the years now that I'm in my 12th year in terms of Repac, I've become much more passionate and involved, and actually am a real believer actually in terms of the environment and packaging, recycling, what we can do in a small and incremental way actually to save the little bit of our planet that we have left.
Is this the sexiest place you've ever done a meeting? Bearing in mind there are two grown men in a Jeep in a car park.
This is very definitely one of the strangest places I've done it. But it actually is very, very pertinent and very appropriate when we look here and actually see the number of businesses that are actually our manufacturers and producers of packaging. We've B&Q, PC World, DID, Discount Electric. You know, all of these companies are companies that actually effectively are putting packaging on the market. And it's actually, we forget the impact that packaging has and the usefulness that it plays in our current and existing lives. It's very easy to turn around and sort of say at the end of actually having drunk a bottle of water to turn around and say, well, actually, I never really wanted the bottle. But people are making choices every single day of the packaging types and the product that they're asking for, deliberately and unbeknownst to ourselves each and every day. And it's something that we don't often think about, but we are making those decisions each and every moment of our day.
Food for thought indeed, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's funny how you meet people in life. Owen Kennedy first introduced me to Daryl around about 4 or 5, God, maybe more, years ago. I once played golf with Owen and Daryl, and I don't play golf. I never played golf before. In fact, I don't own a set of golf clubs. I didn't bring a set of golf clubs, and I ended up just walking the course and baiting, as in hurley style, a few balls around for the crack. It was more for the company, and that in mind, it is an absolute pleasure to meet Daryl again, a real true gent in that department. Recyclemore.ie is the website. Go on, take a look, download the app, become a little bit greener, you'll feel better for it, you'll look sexier for it, people will tell you your hair looks nice, something along those lines. But more than that, it's also good and it makes sense, and you know it indeed. In the meantime, Brian, it is back to you in the studio.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Daryl. No time for my soapbox, and if I had a soapbox, I'd be recycling it. Recyclemore.ie. With thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out at greensacks.ie. We're back next Friday, 3 p.m, 103.2 Dublin City FM. Take care. Bye bye. Remember, remember, remember.